WBZ H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. We have now learned that the death toll has risen to at least 16, possibly more, after a Bangladesh Air Force jet crashed into a school in Dhaka. The jet slammed into the campus as the students were attending class and
the
taking
IDF
tests.
Question.
At least 100 injuries in the slamming. Gaza saw its deadliest weekend yet for aid seekers, as more than 80 people were killed when Israeli troops opened fire at aid distribution sites across Gaza.
The IDF questioning the casualty figures, saying they fired to remove a, quote, immediate threat. With no end to the war in sight, most days now, dozens of Palestinians are reported killed as they try to get food. Israel saying it will now expand its ground operation into a new area of central Gaza, ordering tens of thousands to move again.
ABC's Patrick Reeval. Russia has launched another target aerial assault on Ukraine hours before UK and German talks were to begin. This is ABC News.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has released data on fish stocking numbers across the state for 2024. According to the data, over 5 million fish were stocked in various inland water bodies and the Great Lakes last year. The stocking helps support fisheries in areas where natural fish populations are not sufficient to maintain their operations long term, as well as recreational fishing opportunities. A full breakdown of how many and what kind of fish were stocked in various bodies of water is available on the Department of Natural Resources website. State lawmakers have proposed new legislation adding regulations to protect residents from scams involving cryptocurrency payments. The proposed bill would restrict the operations of Bitcoin treasury machines and require cryptocurrency companies to refund people if they lose money in a scam after being enticed to send the funds through one of the machines. It would also allow a maximum of $1,000 to be transferred at one time and limit fees that cryptocurrency companies can charge. The proposed bill could be considered this fall. Lake Superior College in Duluth has been named one of three schools in the state to receive grant funding for the Program for Accessible College Education Initiative. The grant funding seeks to expand access to higher education for students with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Lake Superior College will receive over $185,000 to offer more inclusive educational opportunities, including financial literacy courses and employment skills training through local partnerships. The new programs will begin in the fall of 2026. A Stone Lake man is facing charges after being accused of releasing his dog on law enforcement authorities while trying to evade arrest. According to the Lacouture Tribal Police Department, officers were attempting to arrest 44-year-old Mark Lopit for operating while intoxicated on June 21st when he allegedly attempted to flee. He's facing multiple felony charges after allegedly releasing his dog multiple times during his escape attempt, refusing a field sobriety test, and causing a disturbance in the Sawyer County Jail after being taken into custody. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Mariners. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers landing in Seattle last night. They open a three-game set tonight against the Mariners. The Brewers, the hottest team in baseball. They've won 10 in a row. They beat the Dodgers yesterday 6-5 to complete a three-game sweep in L.A. Now the Dodgers get media coverage from Los Angeles and networks in Japan. A reporter asked Pat Murphy, how do you beat a World Series team? With Shohei Ohtani, Clayton Kershaw, with guys like Isaac Collins or Caleb Durbin.
It's a bunch of guys nobody's ever heard of. No disrespect to great fans of Japan baseball, but they can't name five players in our lineup. They can't name two in today's lineup. And that's just a credit to hungry players. And, you know, the Dodgers are running into tough luck and they're not playing their best baseball, and they'll get back on track and be a juggernaut that they are. But, you know, I'm still proud of our club and what they did and, you know, how they competed in big situations. And, yeah, you know, a bunch of average Joes.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm, our low around 60. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are back from our road trip across Wisconsin, back to recap all of the weekend news. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, it's 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning. It is July 21st, 2025, and let's see, we've got Dr. Kristen Lyerly here. We've got Parker Olson producing this shindig in Madison Studio A2. Up North News reporter Selena Heller joins us from Eau Claire. And Lord willing and a fair wind blowing to carry the signal, we have meteorologist Brittany Merlot at the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh, where she once again is camping as naturally as possible, sleeping bag in a swamp. She's crawled out of it to join us here and tell us what's happened. Look at that. That is a broadcast quality microphone right there. You can fly that thing into Air Venture. Brittany, how are you?
I am doing pretty good. It's been an event so far, just trying to set up camp. You know, last night got a little chilly. There was definitely dew out there. I was freezing for a minute or two, but we've got power, we've got signal, we've got internet, so we've got a weather forecast for you today. It is exciting. The gates just opened here at EAA. People are coming in for the first time this year. Planes are already taking off. I mean, about 10,000 planes come to this air show, about 700,000 people attend it. And there's about 40,000 people camping alongside with me right now. The campsite is packed and we are all excited, and the weather couldn't be any better. The sun is shining right now. The wind is blowing. It is a bit breezy, so it's a crisp morning. Our temperatures outside across the state, 48 to about 66 degrees. Nice and refreshing. We're going to stay cool and crisp today with no humidity really seeping in. Low 70s to low 80s for our high temperatures. And then we are looking at some light rain possible far northwest in the state this afternoon. Maybe a thunderstorm or two, but very small. None are going to be severe. And then as we go through tomorrow, that's when the active weather starts to surge in a little bit more. This whole week looks a little wet for a lot of us. By tomorrow afternoon, we're looking at some storms up north and then mid to upper 80s. Yeah, it's going to be muggy, hot, and humid as we go through the next rest of this week. So this is the most refreshing, sweat-free I think I'll be. And it's going to get down and down and down from here, so I apologize for that, you guys.
No, we're very excited for you. You've got a great setup there. You're right outside one of the gate entrances there. I noticed you're on the far side of the gate, so they haven't kicked you out yet if you haven't officially walked in. So this is a good thing. Are you looking forward to seeing something in particular today as things get opened up?
Ooh, good question. I think the first day for me is more like get the feel of the grounds. What is here? Where is everything at? Because it's massive. You do a lot of walking, so make sure you got the right shoes. Check things out. I want to find the blimps, but I don't think they're here just yet. And definitely all the military airplanes and different homemade aircraft. I am actually camping next to a guy who built his own airplane. So I kind of want to go see that. It's inside there as well.
Oh, built his own airplane.
Isn't that the dream?
No, it's the nightmare, Brittany. If somebody says, hey, terrifying. I built this. You want to go up in it? No, yeah. I do not. But you have a lot more faith that way. And that's what you and 700,000 friends are all, you know, better and more trustworthy for it. So, but I did see as I looked through there's little seminars or demonstrations on like everything, like building your own plane and what kind of fabric to, you know, goes best around, you know, the body and the wings and things like that. There's the military demonstrations, like you said. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're just the rankest amateur or the most seasoned professional, there is something for you to see and learn something about there.
There really is. Like I started off not knowing anything, and now my knowledge has just grown specifically from this event. So it is really cool. They're even having some YouTube, Facebook, how to be a star on that. I mean, they're giving talks about everything. It's not just aviation. It's anything related to it. And NOAA is here. The National Weather Service is here. So lots of meteorology nerds as well.
If I can ask as well from like an infrastructure standpoint, I get that all these people are going to be here to see all of that. But again, you got to take care of all these folks. How much like a fair is it in the sense of like concessions? And I mean, are there more than 6 porta potties? Because I'm sure this thing has grown over the years and they've had to learn the hard way that you actually have to feed these folks and give them things to do. Or how are the facilities?
Oh, they are really, really good up until about, I'm not going to lie, Saturday night, I'm sorry, you guys, it's going to be a little rough out there by the end of the week, but these are the best porta potties I have ever seen.
Oh, my.
I know. It's the weirdest thing to say, but they are the cleanest. They clean them every single day, multiple times a day. The food, there's plenty of vendors inside. There's even nice restaurants like outdoor rooftop bars, things like that. It is, they've got it all here. And then plus for the campers, we also have stores on site. So we have places to go get ice and food and things to cook and wood and salad or something. But if you're inside the gate, you're going to pay those inside gate prices, of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Celine, does this compare at all with the air show you were doing for the Chippewa Valley, 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I know, and from your standpoint, Brittany, I know we have to have a like emergency preparedness kind of plan in place, and we go through that. I mean, we have a whole specific team just for that, and we all know what we need to do if something happens. And that actually a storm went through one of the years not too long ago, a few shows ago, and it just poured, and the wind blew the porta potties over, and so it was just kind of had to take things right away. So I know you probably have a plan like that in place there too.
Yes, we absolutely do. We have warning sirens and stuff like that. So the National Weather Service and the meteorologists here will come on and let everybody know that a storm is incoming. They try to give us at least 45 to 30 minutes warning so we can move and get out of here, because again, it's a lot of walking to get to safety. But we've got the EAA Museum as our shelter, and we'll see how it goes. But it's going to be an active week as we move into later in this week for sure here in Oshkosh.
I got to think for all the stuff that they need, Kristen, that somebody would have at some point asked you if you wanted to be one of the volunteer docs there. I'm sure they've got medical staff on call around that area.
They've got everything. They are so well equipped because they've been doing this. I mean, how many years? It's been, 40 years? More than that.
Yeah, more than 50 something now at this point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they have everything. Please go. It sounds intimidating. 700,000 people. They know how to handle the crowds. And the things that you see and the things that you'll learn are incredible.
All right.
Absolutely.
Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. Hazy sunshine in 58. Because, yeah, we've got that Canadian wildfire smoke moving back in the area, don't we, here?
We do.
I worked on my lawn tractors, getting them ready for more mowing jobs today in Wittenberg. There was storm damage from Saturday morning in northeastern Marathon and northwestern Shawano counties from high winds and hail. He says, I heard the planes over my house yesterday headed toward Oshkosh. They also had a plane fly out in Wausau heading toward the EAA.
Yes.
We were talking about it being National Junk Food Day. He says, I have a bad habit of eating Hershey bars with nuts and a bowl of ice cream and loads of chocolate toppings. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. And he too remembered the Captain and Tennille variety show back in the 1970s. He loved hearing Kristen sing along during the commercial break to the Captain and Tennille. and said she should be singing every day. Brittany is a shining star of the EAA. He says it's like Farm Progress Days for the agricultural community. And then Alicia was chiming in as well, saying, woohoo, she's going to be searching for Brittany when she gets down there. And she says home builds are awesome, meaning home built airplanes, compared to, she says, again, as a veteran, our military aircraft are held together with duct tape and hopes and dreams. And Tony asking on YouTube, I thought Noah got fired by the government. Well, I'm sure that'll be a discussion point out there as well.
Yes. Oh, it will.
there will be a lot to talk about there. All right. Will we see you in an hour, Brittany, or will you already be on a blimp or something by then?
Nah, I'm going to hang out with you guys.
Oh, bless your heart. All right, good. We'll see you in a little while. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Sounds good.
Hey, remember, you can sign up at Up North News for our daily newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And remember, today, it's about the EAA. So you can learn a bit more about that. And not just what's at the show, but what goes into putting on AirVenture, which includes a whole lot of volunteers, the people from the Oshkosh community who truly make this thing happen. So you can sign up again on our website. You can also sign up for our Sunday morning newsletter. That one has much more of a political bent to it. And we ask about candidate for governor Bill Berrien running ads already for governor more than a year before the primary. But of course, nobody knows who Bill Berrien is. You know, he's a guy that runs a business and he wants to be governor. So in the newsletter on Sunday morning, I asked, what is your impression of a candidate running ads this early? Is it, you know, I hate it. And if I see ads that early, I'm immediately going to dislike this person and never vote for them? Or is your answer, I get it, I don't like it, but if you got to build name ID, it's what you got to do? Or is it option C, you actually like that? You like when somebody is advertising early. It shows that they're, you know, they've got a lot of initiative and that they are worthy of your attention. Well, needless to say, gang, a lot of people pick an A. They do not like the political ads a year in advance. But it's far from unanimous. There are enough people saying B, they get it, they understand it. And there are a couple of folks already saying, you know, that they admire that somebody wants to jump in. I think that might be more politics driven, that maybe they're not Tony Evers fans and they're just happy that somebody is running ads for governor right now. But, you know, Kristen, you know, along with me from being a candidate, there's a whole different strategy on when you start advertising, because once you do, I mean, you're burning money now instead of raising it.
Yeah, but I think here in Wisconsin, we have so many elections and we as a swing state are so targeted. So there are so many ads and also unlimited money. So I think based on conversations that I've had with friends and neighbors that people just are tired of it. Like people want to enjoy the summer and they want to go to EAA and they don't want to be thinking about politics because politics is always looming over us right now.
Yeah, people love to have a little break. Like even Selena, you're at Country Jam this weekend and there was no chance this time around that there'd be any candidates, you know, on the outside of the ground shaking hands or anything like that. It was everybody got the full escape this time as you were out there, I would assume.
Yeah.
Or are you going to tell me that up on the Jumbotron between acts, there was a Bill Berrien governor commercial or something like that?
I didn't see any. No, I didn't see any. We did have some fun there. The artist did with the whole Coldplay incident and put the camera on some people and they did the whole ducking and covering really quickly.
That really tapped into some cultural things that are happening right now, didn't it?
Oh, did it ever. My goodness. And I don't remember if we asked on air or off air who you were. You saw somebody, one group that you were particularly impressed with.
Well, yeah,
oh, Bailey Zimmerman. Bailey, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
I had no idea. And then so come to find out he's a great performer. Oh my goodness. Very high energy. Wore Packers gear coming out of the gate. And then he takes it off and he throws it, signs it, throws it into the crowd, and then puts on something else. A lot of changes of his outfits, and then he came out again with a Love jersey on. So he really caters to the crowd, but very great performer.
Gotcha.
And I think he's Tony's distant cousin.
No, I don't think so. But, you know, never know. Roger and Stevens Point puts on Facebook, we played Duran Duran last segment, saying A View to Kill is the only James Bond theme to reach number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
That's a true fact.
And Tony responds with, that's what this show was made for, Duran Duran history. You know,
let's keep doing it.
that would make you so happy. When we come back, Selena Heller had a chance to talk to Corrine Hendrickson, who is having to close up her childcare business and is also contemplating a run for office as well. That and so much more ahead on these mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Facing addiction? The Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline offers free, confidential support 24/7. Call 211, text your zip code to 898-211, or chat at 211wisconsin.org. Help is waiting. Sponsored by United Way of Wisconsin.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of birds?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes. Yeah,
really?
Pretty much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
All right, more with Pat Kreitlow here in the morning on a Monday edition on the Buzz of the North, WBZH. Hope your weekend was good and Lumberjack World Championships. Many of you, I'm sure, took that in over the weekend. We'll chat a little bit about the weekend. Mr. Greg Gunderson will join me a little bit later on this hour, talking about some Hayward events. We'll talk a little fishing and talk about some other upcoming things going on. Mark Lundeen, of course, will be in the 8 o'clock hour with some local info, community events, and information. So always good local information, 7, 8 o'clock hours here with Pat Kreitlow in the mornings on the Buzz of the North. Let's continue our discussion. We had a couple segments last week with Jared Schutz from Wisco Dive Bar Reviews. So let's continue and get some more information on a very cool topic, talking about dive bars in Wisconsin with Wisco Dive Bar Reviews, Jared Schutz. Check him out on all the social media platforms. Just millions of views. People are just really enticed and enthralled by this. So talk about something maybe that you found at a dive bar that even surprised you. I mean, you've seen the Rocky Mountain oysters and all the traditional things that go along with some of these dive bars. But give me something that even made your head kind of maybe turn a little bit in a bar you walked into.
Yeah, there's so many quirky things that you see, whether it's
whether it's the setup in a bathroom where you could sit on a toilet and at the same time you could be washing your hands in the sink, you know, that sometimes the plumbing is questionable at best, but you know, everything from the quirky taxidermy to seeing mice sitting around a table playing cards with little beer mugs in their hands, and like if this isn't Wisconsin, I don't know what is. And you know, there's just so many quirky things that just make you laugh and make you smile and just make the place, you know, just feel, you know, just have that vibe that just makes you feel at home when you step into a place.
Yeah. And I'm sure you mentioned this a little bit too, that you have a chance, depending on your schedule, of course, you're a working man like all of us, but you get a chance some of the places to maybe hang around a little bit longer than others. And like you said, by the time you get out of there, it's like you got a new family, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the coolest part about what I do is the people that I meet and the stories that I hear. I know how much so many of these bars mean to so many people, whether it's, you know, whether it's in downtown Hayward or whether it's in downtown Milwaukee or somewhere out on a gravel road that Google doesn't even know where it is. You know, these are home to so many people. And yeah, it's just, you know, to be able to travel to these places and give them, you know, the love that they deserve, it's just been a blessing. I had no idea what was going to happen when I started this account, but 920 bars in and is how many I've reviewed to this point. And sometimes I'm at a place for a half hour. Sometimes I'm there for, you know, I would say the average time is probably an hour. And other times I'll be there for 3 or 4 hours or 5 hours. It just all depends on what my schedule is and my itinerary. But that's the hardest job I have is leaving these places, because I could easily sit down and stay at a place for hours on end. But unfortunately, that's not the job that I have. And, you know, it's one of the downsides of what I do. But yeah, I think that people love what I do. They keep, you know, seeing the places that I hit, and they keep suggesting more places, which I absolutely love, because that's how I find some of these hidden gems is from the suggestions of my great followers.
Craig Schutz with us from Wisco Dive Bar Reviews. You can check it out on all the social media platforms. You know, we talk about having the cold beverage and the atmosphere, but I think part of these dive bars too, Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, is a lot of times these places have some very unique food menus and food choices. And a lot of times, most of the time, the owners are cooking in the back. So that's a big draw for people too, isn't it? Is the food side of these dive bars.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not much of a seafood guy, but there's places that they'll have seafood or walleye. You can get better food at some of these bars out in the sticks than you could get going into a big city and finding some, you know, some fancy place that's going to cost you, you know, you go, two people go on a date and have a meal and a couple drinks, and it's going to cost you $100. You know, you can get a better meal and you can spend, you know, half of that at some of these places. And I'm a big burger and fries guy. I just always have. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. And I was up in the cable area here about a month ago, and I got pointed to a bar. There was another bar owner that suggested a place, the Pioneer Bar, and it was just out in the woods, and it seemed like we came through an opening in the woods, and there was a bar there, and there was a bunch of people, and I think I had the best burgers I've ever had in my life, which says a lot, because I've had so many burgers, and it was, you know, it wasn't just a burger itself, it was the way it was seasoned, and the fries were incredible, and so, you know, to have eaten so many burgers and to get one that really, really stands out, you know, that's, you know, it's a special place. And like I said, I mean, a burger and a couple beers for $20, I mean, you can't beat that, especially nowadays.
Wisco Dive Bar Reviews, millions of views on this on social media. Absolutely crazy. You mentioned kind of how it got started. How many years now have you been doing this?
It will be 3.5 years on July 14th. So it was January 14th of 2022 when I started it.
All right, and we'll have more coming up on Wednesday with Jared Schutz from Wisco Dive Bar Reviews, our final segment on Wednesday. Thousands and thousands, if not millions, of views across social media platforms, and always very interesting. Follow him on whatever platform you you like to, and I think you'll may recognize a bar or two that he frequents. He's a busy, busy guy, Jared Schutz. So Wisco Dive Bar Reviews, our final segment Wednesday morning right at this time. At about 7:20 here on the Buzz of the North, WBZH. Coming up in just a little bit at about 7:50, Greg Gunderson will join us on the mornings with Pat Kreitlow. We'll talk about the World Lumberjack Championships from the weekend, talk a little fishing, whatever else, and some other events coming up here in the next couple of weeks in the Hayward area. It's coming up on 7:59, and this is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Buzz of the North, WBZH.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A group of Republican state lawmakers is renewing efforts to repeal a partial veto by Governor Tony Evers that increased school funding for the next 400 years. A newly proposed bill would eliminate the per-pupil adjustments from the 2023-2025 biennial state budget beginning in the 2026-2027 school year. The partial veto allows school districts to raise revenue limits by $325 per student every year through 2024-25. The Wisconsin Supreme Court upheld the veto following a legal challenge earlier this year. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin is joining another multi-state lawsuit against actions taken by the Trump administration. The new lawsuit challenges a rule change by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. It argues the rule change would make it more difficult for residents to obtain health care coverage under the Affordable Care Act. In a press release, Attorney General Call said the change would decrease the total enrollment in Wisconsin's individual marketplace and make premiums less affordable. The Rice Lake City Council is set to consider a proposal for continued use of the recreation options outside the Armory building following its sale to World Harvest Church. The city had a previous agreement with the Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs allowing residents to use the baseball and softball fields, playground, and picnic area near the facility. The agreement would have been in place until 2029 prior to the sale of the facility. The proposal that the City Council will consider on Tuesday seeks to continue that agreement with World Harvest Church. A new facility aimed at helping Superior area residents experiencing a mental health crisis is now open. The Hope Haven Peer Respite Home seeks to help people struggling with mental health or substance abuse issues in a home-like setting with peer support specialists. The facility has 10 staff members and can house up to 4 people at a time. Funding came from local healthcare and community-based organizations, as well as Douglas County Health and Human Services. The facility is currently open for overnight stays from Friday nights to Monday mornings. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I love it when I hope rumors are true. According to the New York Post, there are rumblings that Fleetwood Mac will reunite. It's not just from the paparazzi, but rather from Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. They did a coordinated Instagram post sparking rumors. Nicks posted song lyrics from Frozen Love, and Buckingham completed them. The two famously dated and broke up, just like fellow band members Christine and John McVie. Breakups have served the band well, though, because the album they were making during said breakups was Rumors and was awesome. I'm a sucker for a good cop show. My favorite detective show in the last several years is probably Amazon Prime's Bosch. And I also like the spinoff Bosch Legacy. The show has produced yet another spinoff called Ballard, which is based on a character introduced in the last season of Bosch Legacy, Detective Renee Ballard. The detective elements of the show are great, but star Maggie Q lacks a certain charisma. Having said that, there is a lot going on, and the cold cases Ballard takes on are pretty cool. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm, our low around 60. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress. For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome director-producer John Roach and Max Inc. Radio's Rocker joins me in studio for some Atwood Fest chat. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
7:35. Welcome back. Nice to have you here live from Lake Wissota and from the Green Bay area as well, where Dr. Kristen Lyerly is hanging around with us in what a green long sleeve, something that at first I thought was just a, you know, just another Packer jersey. But no, is that from Wellstone Action by chance?
No, this is from the DFL.
Oh, from the Minnesota Democratic Party, the DFL, mm-hmm. Democratic Farmer Labor Party, a Paul Wellstone shirt in honor of the anniversary of his birth today.
Yes, and Corinne's statement and the fact that the purpose of government is to serve the people. And that's not what's happening right now, but that is exactly what Paul Wellstone stood for. So in solidarity.
That was nice. We don't often get a lot of costume changes here on the radio. So appreciate you going from Bay Beach to Paul Wellstone. So that's great. So we've both been candidates. We've both been in races that either looked at having potential primaries or, you know, a lot of discussions about, well, who should run? And you've talked about people running for assembly or Senate or Congress and, you know, which race is right for them. And the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, who's also a Democrat, the chairmanship flips between Democrat and Republican chairs. Anyway, put up a post about primaries because there's been a little bit of, if not controversy, then discussion in a couple of different legislative districts about to what degree either the state party or others, you know, are influencing whether there will be a primary or not. And for me, this began when Corrine Hendrickson mentioned that she was thinking of running in the 17th State Senate District down there near Southwest Wisconsin, because I knew that recently State Representative Jenna Jacobson had announced that she was running for the race. And when I hear that a state legislator is going to be running, like state rep is going to run for state Senate, you know, I have to admit, I assume like, okay, well, the decks have been cleared and that's what's going to be the case. And we had Robin Vining announce, you know, that she's going to be running against Senator Rob Hutton of Brookfield. And you find out that that's not necessarily so, that there are other people interested in running. So to what degree is a primary good or bad? And down in the 17th Senate District there was a long Facebook post. Brick Cider is the Facebook account. And somebody talking about their desire to explore a run for state Senate. And they felt like they were talked out of or maybe intimidated out of running by a group called the SSDC, the State Senate Democratic Committee. Now, the SSDC is not exactly the same thing as the state party. This is the political caucus for the Democratic members of the state Senate. So there's the SSDC, the State Senate Democratic Committee, and the ADCC, the Assembly Democratic Campaign Committee. And they obviously get involved in recruiting candidates, just as at the congressional level, Kristen and I were both, you know, hounded by the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. And in all cases, Kristen, well-meaning folks, but that does not necessarily make them, you know, the be-all and end-all experts on local races.
I have so many thoughts on this. First of all, to make it very clear, the SSDC's job is to recruit people to run for state Senate, and the ADCC's job is to recruit people to run for assembly. And the DTRIPS is
to get people to run for Congress all over the country. So there are bodies that do that work. And there are seats that they focus on that really can make a difference, where they look at the numbers and they think this is a seat that we can win. So they want to make sure that that's a great competitive district. So they tend to put a lot of time and energy and effort into these districts. And the 17th Senate district here in Wisconsin, which goes from south central Wisconsin all the way over to southwestern Wisconsin, is one of those districts. They want that candidate to be the shiniest, best supported, greatest fundraiser, all of those things. And when they find somebody who they think is that person, they elevate that person. But when there are other people who are on the outside and don't have the same connections and maybe the same background, it's harder to break through. And it can be a challenge. But I would say, as somebody who actually helps to recruit and support candidates in Northeast Wisconsin, a primary is not a bad thing. A primary is an opportunity to talk about what you care about and to get your voice out there. And if it's done well and in a positive way, and that's what people want to see, they really, really want to see good people talking about the things that they care about, it could be a really great thing for our democracy as a whole.
And I'm saying, for the sake of argument, not to disagree, but to give the other side of the argument on this, is that primaries take up resources mm-hmm. that could be used against, in this case, the Republican incumbent, Howard Markline in Senate District 17, Rob Hutton over in the Milwaukee suburbs. And so there are groups that, you know, very much try to dissuade people from announcing if they think that there's a candidate. So Ann Jacobs, who's an attorney and the Democratic chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, has seen all this, and I wanted to share her thoughts on this that she posted over the weekend. It's 4 points. Number one, primaries are neither inherently good nor bad. For example, good, create awareness of the race, strengthen the candidate message. Bad, siphon dollars needed for the race and damage the eventual candidate. Yeah, especially if it's a negative primary. We've mm-hmm. definitely seen that. Number two, the job of the SSDC and similar funding orgs is not to hand out participation trophies to everyone who indicates they are interested in running. Their stated goal is to fund the candidate they think most likely to succeed. That is a political decision. Three, running for office takes more than, I think I'm very smart and have good ideas. Maybe you are smart and have great ideas. You also need to have a plan on how to run, how to convince people to vote for you, how to find resources to fund you. Running for office is hard. That's why there are various training groups to help you learn to do it, like the aforementioned Wellstone Action. If you're not willing to do or have not done the work on these logistics, people will not consider you a serious candidate. And four, if you really want to run, all you need are nomination paper signatures on some documents. If what is stopping you is that people aren't supporting your effort, then perhaps it is time for some introspection on why that is. And I mean, that was amazingly blunt and, you know, says it all, makes the case right there for, you know, don't be whining if SSDC, ADCC, or DCCC goes with somebody else because, you know, they've got a job to do.
Well, I'll say ultimately it comes down to, do the people support you? So if you are not coming into this race with support of the people and you can't garner that kind of support, then maybe you're not the right person. Maybe you are a support person for the person who's going to be the candidate. And, you know, I'll use an example. When I ran for Congress in the last cycle, there were three of us who stepped up. There were three of us who wanted to run for that same seat. And what we decided to do was put our heads together. Before any of us filed, we started to get media attention. We started talking to people and we tried to figure out where we all fit into this process. And we knew we all had a role there, but we didn't know what our individual roles would be. And as time played out and as we had more conversations with people, it became very clear where we all belonged. So there's a way to do that, working collectively together. I think one of the tricks with candidates, though, is that in order to be a candidate, you have to have some, like, a little, like, maybe a little touch of narcissism, maybe.
What?
Us? So everybody thinks, like, I'm the right person, and you have to be able to set that aside and mm-hmm. be there for the people.
There was a quite a response on that post from Ann Jacobs by State Senator Kelda Royce, and it was responding to somebody who wanted to know more about what is the SSDC and the ADCC. And so Senator Kelda Royce put up, the State Senate Democratic Committee is made up of the Democratic senators in Wisconsin, and our only job is to win the majority. We have limited resources and time, and so we work our butts off to recruit and support our Democratic candidates in every seat. We have been incredibly successful protecting all of our incumbents and flipping all four even slightly competitive seats in the last cycle where we faced national headwinds. Now, we have the possibility of a Democratic trifecta for the first time in 15 years. I personally will again raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for these candidates. The idea that Democratic senators who are doing this, work should never get involved in supporting candidates in must-win seats until after the primary, especially in cases where there is a very strong standout candidate, is crazy. We need to be smart with our resources and time. Anybody gets to run for anything. It's not hard to get on the ballot. But to earn my support personally, someone has to share my core values and show that they are capable of doing the work to win. It is really hard to get elected, especially in these critical seats where the races now cost millions of dollars. And you have to oust a powerful, well-funded, well-known Republican incumbent. Why would anyone who shares our values want us to sit on the sidelines for a year when doing so has cost us seats in previous cycles? So again, a very full-throated defense of how the SSDC and the ADCC run things, but I will be the first to tell you it's not going to sit well with other folks who feel like they're being, you know, excluded from tapping into resources simply because there is, here's that word, an anointed candidate. People in Democratic circles, probably Republican too, hate the impression that one candidate is being anointed to run. So, Kristen, what you just explained, I watched you guys in this process last year, multiple people, you know, looking at where they fit in with the right race. From my distance over here, looked like a textbook case of how to find the strongest candidates in the strongest seats and give yourselves every opportunity to win.
Because we have a common goal, which is to win so that we can do the work for the people. And, you know, I think another really important point here, Pat, is our primary is late.
Yes.
Our primary isn't until August, and the general is in early November. So if we have competitive primaries, we don't have a lot of time to line up behind that one candidate between August and November. It seems like a lot of time, but it actually isn't in an election cycle. So that's why we really have to do a lot of that work in advance of the primary. And that's why the work of the SSDC and the ADCC is so important. Having said that, if you are thinking about running, start having conversations with people. Talk to the people in your community. Talk to the leaders. Talk to the electeds. That is ultimately government is people working together for the good of the people. So start working together now. It's not too late.
No, it's not. And again, every district is going to be different. Every candidate is different. And that takes us to, you know, the third congressional district, where there are three Democrats running already, three women, all from the Chippewa Valley, interested in running. One ran last year and was very competitive with Derek Van Orden. And there are definitely people who feel like the decks should be cleared for Becca Cook to run and be the nominee again. But Part of the reason there are already two other candidates is this feeling of, well, she had her turn or she gave it her best and now we want to give it a try. Obviously a lot of powers that be say, no, this was our nominee. They're in the strongest position. I don't envy any of them. And I frankly feel, I don't know if blessed is the right word, but I get to provide a forum here for everybody. All three of those candidates know they can come here, make their best case. They know where I stand as a former elected official is everybody come here, make your case, but then come the day after the primary. If you are not with a full-throated endorsement of your nominee, you're the bad guy in this case. And I'm not going to lie. There's some people very close to me who were the bad guys last year when, you know, there was a nominee and the least amount was done possible for the nominee in some of these races. We all, you know, who are invested in November have to come together after the primary and go, this is the way forward, as difficult as it is.
Right. That's, this isn't a time to hold grudges. This is mm-hmm. a time to work together to make the change that we all want to see. And just briefly, I'll tell you, we've got four people who are looking at running in Northeast Wisconsin. And I believe in Glenn Grothman's district, there are four people who have already filed. So yeah. Enthusiasm is high. Get involved. Even if it feels impossible, get involved in some sort of a meaningful way. There is a place for you at the table.
So there you go. You've heard the pluses, the minuses of primaries and support behind them. And in all cases, there is room for you to increase your civic engagement. A local update is coming up next for some of you, and then for the rest, we're sticking around here. Jimmy Cusco will be out along, and we'll talk about, how about those Brewers, 10 in a row? Yeah, that's a pretty fun thing to talk about. I think we'll do that after this. You're up north.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise. The Buzz of the North is now your home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
Fly ball, right field, it is deep, it is gone!
Milwaukee Brewer baseball on 96.9 WBZH, the Buzz of the North.
Fly ball, deep right, back to back!
Milwaukee Brewer baseball on 96.9 WBZH.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or...
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
The Buzz of the North, WBZH, with Pat Kreitlow in the mornings here, and some local Hayward area talk. You're gonna be hearing a lot from me, Joel Karnick, and this guy over here, Greg Gunderson. Good Monday morning to you, Greg.
Good Monday. Those two. Well, it's a Monday morning.
It is a Monday morning.
It's Monday morning, Joel. Don't call it
Lumberjack
good.
World Championships. I think I referred to it over the weekend as Monday in Hayward is. Pulling slivers out of fingers and tushes.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, I'm still just reveling in that beautiful description you gave of the springboard chop last week that just, it's stuck with me because you accidentally, organically gave the perfect outsider looking in perspective on that. And I mean, it was brilliant. It was one of those things you couldn't do on purpose. And I'm so glad it happened right here.
Hey, I gotta listen. Anytime I do something entertaining, I gotta find it and listen back to it. So
yeah, we're going to save that one, and that one's playing at your retirement party, I promise.
I hope your World Championship weekend, Lumberjack World Championship weekend, was a good one. There's always something to do in Hayward in the summertime. It just seems like it's a constant stack of events. And one thing I want to talk about a little bit today is the joy of a flea market. Oh, I love a good flea market.
Ooh.
There's not a kid alive who doesn't hear about a flea market when he's 6 or 7 years old. And of course, as the obvious question, why would we want to go and buy some fleas or visit fleas when we're trying to avoid the fleas? What, why would we do that, mom and dad? And then as you get older, I think as you get older, the joy of a flea market gets better and more luscious.
Other people's junk, year. Man. I mean, it's like a yard sale, but concentrated, turned up to 11 and all brought to one place. I mean, swap meets, flea markets, there's magic that happens there. And it's not necessarily safe or family friendly all the time, but it's better for that. Like, wow.
And the items you find in a flea, every flea market is different, I think, because some flea markets can be antiques and, you know, coffee cans full of golf balls, and other flea markets can be maybe a little more organized, maybe, you know, crafters in 10 by 10 tents. So when you go to a flea market, I think the expectations are is that I'm going to a flea market.
Right.
And other than that, there's a lot of gray area in there, literally.
Oh,
literally.
You would. I'm not gonna wax poetic and say that a flea market breathes like a market square in a healthy town in 1855, but like there is absolutely, each one is unique simply because each stall, each booth, each vendor, each person, each unique offering is just that. And man, you'll find some weird stuff. I remember the first time I went to a flea market. I found this green rock and I reached out to touch it, and the guy in the booth said, "Don't touch that. It's radioactive." And ooh. Actually, I kind of filed that memory away. And recently I Googled it. I think what it was, or at least what it was being sold as, was when they were testing nuclear weaponry out in the Nevada desert. The heat of those explosions formed a type of glass because of how hot it was that, like, I don't know if it's ever been formed, but in like 6 places on Earth ever. And they, after those nuclear tests were done, they dug all this stuff up and buried it because it was radioactive, and because there was so much variety to how radioactive it was, because it was different depths in the soil, different distances from the ground zero. And long story short, a lot of it got out before they buried it all. So there's a pretty decent chance I almost nabbed myself a little bit of radioactivity on the right pointer finger.
Yikes. And flea markets, I mean, it's a rather recent thing. I mean, when I was a kid back in the 70s, I don't remember many flea markets, and they've grown more and more now. It's a, of course, it's a, what the history is a Parisian thing back in the 19th century, in the 1800s. But I think just in the last 20 to 25 years, I would say, flea markets are, they're just everywhere.
Yeah.
They're very popular.
I mean, and it makes sense that they really emerged in the U.S. in the 1950s because, and this is going to sound silly, but people didn't have enough stuff. It was the Depression in the 30s. You've got to have time to build the common person's pile of junk in order for those to be an attractive thing to do in the first place. You know, if you held a flea market in 1935, you're either rich or you're not there. So yeah. That's it.
Yeah,
that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
So in 1950, 1955, okay, cool. We've got the post-war economy. And not to beat the drum, but there's been a lot of consumerism going on since then. And people have been accumulating stuff. And I mean, hey, let's all bring it to the same place. Compare that which we haven't ruined in the last 20 years. And I'll give you A, you give me B. Barter system meets capitalism.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty slick.
It is. It's a bigger version of a garage sale, and some people enjoy this. It's more than just the buying and selling of items, I think. For some people, it's the socializing.
Oh,
and
totally.
It's talking about things that are in their booth or other people's booths. So it's a social thing, kind of like an outdoor tavern almost.
Oh, do you want to know what it was like back in the early 1700s when people bartered cattle for grain in rough figures? Okay, cool. Go listen to people dicker over leather jackets and golf clubs at a flea market. I can almost guarantee you it's the same flavor of conversation. It's, yeah. You know, they're bickering over a price that neither of them actually cares about. They're doing it because they don't want to go home and leave this great bustling atmosphere full of other people. We're social creatures, and flea markets are a perfect example. It's just this century's iteration of something we've always been doing. I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that about us.
Yeah, and the flea market is on today, by the way, folks, in Hayward. Hayward Sports Center does one every Monday through the summer from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. today. at Hayward Sports Center. They have they claim to have over 100 booths down there, if you haven't been there before, inside and out. So it's kind of become a mainstay on Mondays.
Joel's feeling suspicious today. They claim there's 100
well,
booths.
Well, you know.
Catch us there. We're going to verify. I'm going to have to count them by hand.
I guarantee you there's probably some good food down there, too, also. So the flea market and the history of the flea market is pretty cool. Nowadays, of course, modern-day flea market is what? eBay, right?
Basically. Yeah. But you can't replace it. And I think we're going to see a boom. We're going to see a bit of a bounce back. And there will be balance. We're not going to just return to buying everything in person. The internet's the internet, and it's got inevitable benefits. But on top of my Walmart deliveries directly to my doorstep, I'll see you at the flea market every couple weekends.
Oh, that tangible bargaining is a real thing.
Yes.
It's a real thing.
Parts of my brain fire off that don't do anything else ever. So bargain with me.
All right. So flea market today, Hayward Sports Center here in Hayward. Joel here, Gray over there. We'll have more coming back on the other side. Here on the Buzz of the North, Pat Kreitlow in the mornings on WBZH.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Burials taking place in Gaza and hospitals are flooded with wounded Palestinians after Israeli troops opened fire near a crowd trying to collect food at an aid distribution site. Hospital officials say 80 people died and more than 150 were injured. Here's ABC Chief Foreign Correspondent Ian Pannell.
There have been multiple killings at food sites over the last few weeks. As the crisis on the ground worsens, the UN's food program estimating 90,000 Palestinians are suffering from malnutrition, many on the brink of starvation.
A Bangladesh military plane crashed into a school today in Dhaka, the death toll rising to 18, with 164 others injured, according to a spokesman for the Bangladesh Armed Forces. The school had some 2,000 students from elementary through high school. The search for victims from the July 4th flooding in Central Texas has been going on for weeks. Now the list of people unaccounted for is down to just 8, down from 160 who had been on the list before.